Today's shiur is in Masech Techulin on Daf Samach. We will begin on Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, 17 lines from the bottom of the Amud, with the last word on the line, Amr Le Kesar. Before we begin, I just wanted to discuss one thing which we mentioned in yesterday's shiur concerning the Chagavim, the locust. There was a newspaper article a few years ago when the OU conducted a halachic suda, and the article stated that locust was served at the OU's halachic suda, which Rabbi Ari Zivotofsky and Dr. Ari Greenspan coordinated. And I want to explain that that's true. Locust was served, but it was not the regular locust. It was chocolate locust, which was under OU certification. Because, as we mentioned, although the Taimanim and Moroccans have a Kabbalah, Masorah, that the desert locust is the Chagav, the OU and most Ashkenazim do not have that Masorah, and therefore they cannot eat it, and there is no locust that is under OU Hashgacha. On the video of this Halachic Suda, we have where Dr. Greenspan had a locust, which I mentioned yesterday, on its belly, it had a ches. And what they did with photography, they were able to invert the ches, then it looked like a U, and then they circled the U with an O. And but that also gave people the impression that the locust had an OU Ashgacha, but in fact, it's only chocolate locust that was served at the halachic suda. Just wanted to clear that up before we begin today's shir. Amar Le Kesar Rabbi Shuba Chanani. We're going to begin over a daf of Agadah to Gemara, and we start with the philosophical and religious discussions that seem to have been held in Rome, and they were between the Roman Emperor Hadrian and Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. And therefore, although the Gemara here seems to be superficially stories, but as the Mephorshim explain, and we'll go basically with the Marsha's interpretation, there were deep philosophical discussions that were going on here. Says the Gemara, Amalei Kesar Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Elokechem, your God, Ka'arye Matel. He is compared to a lion. This is, we find the pasuk in Amos, Arye Shog Miloyir, when a lion roars, who is not afraid of the lion? And then the pasuk concludes, Hashem Elokim Diber Miloy Yinove. The Navi Amos is saying that just like when a lion roars, everybody is afraid, so too when Hashem gives Nevuah to a Navi, which Navi will contain that Nevuah and not give it over out of the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see that Hashem is compared to a lion. So my Rebu say, what is the greatness that Hashem is compared to a lion? Ask the Kesar, the Caesar, to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Parsha Katal Aryeh, a warrior, as Rashi says, a gibor, he's able, gibor hoyreges ari. If you're comparing Hashem to a lion, perhaps there is a power that's stronger than a Kaddish Baruch Hu, just as there is a gibor who is stronger than the lion. Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua responded, Lav kahai arye matel. Hashem is not compared to a regular lion, because then you would be right. But you know what lion he's compared to? Like the lion that we learned about in the end of yesterday's shir. Ka'arye debei loy. This lion from the upper region, as Rashi said, it was a certain forest that was called Bei Loy, and we learned in yesterday's shir that Rav Kahana said that from ear to ear, the width of his mouth was 9 amos. That's approximately 18 feet wide, his face. So that's the ferocious lion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to, that a gibor would not be able, as we'll soon see, the power of this lion, a gibor would not be able to defeat that lion. Amar Lei, so the Caesar, said to Rabbi Yeshua, Be'ina de Mechses Lei, I want that you should show me Nahalei. I want you to show me this Ari de Beiloi. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yeshua responded, Lo Matzis Chazislei, it's impossible for you to see him. Amar Lei, the Caesar said back, he didn't want to take no for an answer. He said, Ibra, And the Masoret HaShas says the word Ibra comes from, the Orach tells us the Lashon Bori. As the Rabbeinu Gershom says, Kolaymer Vadai Ani Roitza. 100% Bori, I do want to see it. I'm the king, I'm the Caesar, I demand to see it. I won't take no for an answer. Ibra Chazinolei, I will see it. So Rabbi Yeshua, the Caesar was making Rabbi Yeshua an offer he couldn't refuse. So Rabbi Yeshua said, okay, boy Rachami. So Rabbi Yeshua davened, is Aker Miduchde, and the lion set out from his place. Ki havi marchik arba me parsi, when he was away from the city of Rome, 400 parsois, he gave out a roar. Niyam chad kola. He gave out one roar. Now, what's the distance of 400 parsois? We know there are 4 milin in a parsa, right? A mil, it takes 18 minutes to walk, and 4 mils is 72. That's the 72 minutes is the Bein Hashmash, as we're familiar with, between Shki and Seisek Achavim of 72 minutes is 4 parsois. So a mil is 2,000 amas, which is approximately 3,000 to 4,000 feet, which is approximately the size of a kilometer. So one parsa, which is 4 milin, is 4 kilometers. And 400 parsas is 1,600 kilometers. 1,600 kilometers is approximately 1,000 miles. So when this lion was 1,000 miles away from the city of Rome, he let out this one roar. And what happened? Apilu kol ma'avarta. All the women who were pregnant, they had nephilim. They lost their embryos. The Shura de Romi, here's where we see that this took place in Rome, the walls of Rome, Nafal, fell down. Adamar Chak Tlos Mea Parsi, when he was 300 parses away, that's 3/4 of what we spoke about before, so it means 750 miles, he's getting closer and closer to Rome. Nihem Kol Achrina, he let out another roar, and what happened? Nitar Kochi Vishini de Gavri. There fell out, the kochi are the molars, vishinayim are the front teeth of the men. Tosis here at the bottom says that from here we see that it's not like Tosin of Arizorah Daf Chav Ches brings down Rashi that the kochi are the gums. And Tosin says it's not the derech for gums to fall out. It would seem that, says Tosin, that kochi are the molar teeth in the back. And Shinayim, the last line of Tosfos on the Amud, Vishinayim, Hey Ma Shinayim Sholofnim. That's why in yesterday's shir, when we learned that any animal that doesn't have teeth, Shinayim is a Malagera. So Shinayim means the front teeth, because the animal, the cow has molar teeth to grind the food, but it doesn't have front teeth. So Shinayim is front teeth and Kachi are the molar teeth. That's what Tosfos explains. So they fell out. The Afhu, and even the Caesar himself, Nafal Mekursai, he fell down from his throne, La'ara, to the ground. Amar Lei, so at that point, the Caesar didn't want the lion to come any closer. B'metus minach, I beg you, boy Rachmelei Davin, de lahadir leduchte, that he should go back to his place. I he came close enough, I don't want him to get any closer. Boy Rachmelei, so in fact, Rabbi Yeshua, Davened v'ahadu leila asri, and he went back to his place. The Maram Shif asked, why didn't he daven that he should stop roaring? So the Maram Shif answers that eventually, it wasn't only his roar. Imagine such a lion coming into the city of Rome, what devastation he would make. So you'd need to daven two things. A, stop the roaring, and B, they should go back to his place. You're dealing here with Sakanis Nefashis. Who knows how many tefillahs Hashem will accept of you? So let's try one tefillah and get rid of the problem that he should go back. Others say, that the Ben Yoyada says, perhaps even to make the lion not roar, that would be a nes nigla, and they weren't trying to, we don't ask Hashem to do a nes nigla, a revealed nes, but the regular b'derech hateva, that he should go back to his lair, so that is what they were misspelled for. The Ben Yoyada says an interesting thing. The Gemara relates that he was Arba Mea Parsi away, that's the letter Tuf, and then he came 300 Parsi away, that's the letter Shin, Tush. This represents that through his coming close to Rome, Tush, Kaichon, shall Ivim. The power of the enemy got weakened. Then the Gemara relates another story with the Caesar and Rav Yeshua. Amar lei kesto Rav Yeshua ben Chananya. Be'ina di chazi le'eloi kechu. I want to see your God. Amar lei lo matzis chazis lei. You're not able to see him. So the Marsha asks the question, why didn't he, the Gemara is going to say on the next Amud that he showed him the sun. You can't even look into the sun, so for sure you can't see Hashem. But why didn't he prove it from the lion? You saw that you weren't able to cope with the lion. Why do you have to go to a new thing? And the Maram Shif asks, why didn't he quote him the Pasuk, Ki lo yirani adam v'chai, that a human being is not able to see Hashem. Therefore, the Marsha answers, answer, which will answer both questions, that the Caesar wasn't asking to see Hashem physically. He was asking spiritually. In other words, he wanted to know, let me get the gist of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's his essence? What is he all about? I want to understand Hashem. On that too, he's going to tell him, you'll see the sun. There's a whole philosophical discussion. What exactly is the essence of the sun? We don't have that clear. So if we don't have the essence of the sun clear, which is a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, certainly we don't understand Hashem himself. So this is how the Marsha learns Pshat in the Gemara. Amalei, Ibra, again, the Caesar was adamant, as we turn to the Samach Amad Aleph, Ibra Bori, 100%, Chazinalei, I do want to see him. Ozal Ukme, so Rabbi Yeshua took the Caesar, he positioned him, Lahade Yoima. The word Yoima also means not only a day, but it means Shemesh, Rashi says, Negara Shemesh. He put him right in the face of the sun, Bitkufas Thomas, that was in the summertime. Amarlei said to the Caesar, Istakulbe, go look in the gaze into the sun. Amarlei, Lemetsina, I can't. Amarlei, Yoima, the Shemesh, the Chad Mishamashi, it's only one of the servants, the Kaimi Kamei the Kutcher Brichu, that is standing in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Amrat, you said, Loi Metzina Listakulube, I'm not able to gaze into the sun. So Shechina, like Hal Shein, so certainly the Shechina itself, and again, as the Marsha explains, he didn't mean it in a physical sense, he meant in the essence. If you don't know the essence of the sun, you certainly are not able to comprehend the essence of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Amalei, a third story. Amalei, case the Rabbi Shuben Chananya. Be'ina, the tzavisle. I want to prepare namo lelekeichu. Nam is bread, but it means here a suda. Let me prepare a suda for your God. Again, the Marsha explains, what was he trying to do here? He says, okay, I agree with you. I got the message from the sun that I don't know the essence of the sun. I don't know the essence of Hashem. But maybe, just like the sun is something physical, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical, and I still don't know the essence of it. So if he's physical, let me go prepare a su'uda for him to eat. That's what he was trying to say here with the su'uda. Amar lei lo matzis, you're not able to prepare a su'uda for Hashem. Amai, so the Caesar says to Rabbi Shua, why not? Lama lo. So he answered him, nefishi chelose, because his legions, his attendants are so numerous, you won't be able to prepare a su'uda for HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all his attendants. Amalei, Ibra, again, he's adamant, Bori, 100%, I do want to make a suda. Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua told the Caesar, Puk, go out, Tzavis, prepare a suda, Legita de Rabisa, on the bank of the river Rabisa. Why? The Ravicha Alma, there's a lot of open space there. So Rashi says that he was telling him there'll be enough open space for the attendance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he was trying to tell him. It's a big open space. And meanwhile, what he really wanted to do is set him up in a place where the wind blows, because we're soon going to see, the wind came and threw all of the Suda, it got rid of it. Tarach Shita Yarchi, 6 months the Caesar was busy preparing the Suda in the Kaita, in the summer, Asa Zika, and then a wind came when he was finished with his preparation, Kanshe Liyama, and he swept, the wind swept the Suda into the sea, then Tarach Shita Yarchi Destava, he worked for 6 months in the winter time, another Suda, Asa Mitra, the rain came, Tavi Biyama, and he washed, the rain washed it into the ocean. Amar Lei, my high, what's going on here? First the wind, then the rain. Amar Lei, so Yeshua responded, Hani kinoise zilchoi do asukame. These are like, Rashi says, they are like the sweepers, and Zulukhoi are the ones who put water. And as they used to have earth floors, in order to make sure that the dust would not rise, they would have to put, when they sweep, water on the ground, and then they would sweep it. So these are the attendants of Hashem, the wind and the rain, that come in front of him. So, and Rashi says, and these two alone, each one was able to take care of your whole Suda. So imagine all of the attendants of Hashem that you're not able to. The Ben Yoyada explains that what he was trying to say over here, and the Marshal, they explain, he was trying to say that you can't understand the essence of Hashem, and you said maybe he's physical. The only physical part of Hashem is the manifestation of Hashem in the world, which you see through the wind and through the rain. But Hashem himself, Chas V'Shalom, that Hashem is physical, that's what he was trying to answer him. Continues the Gemara. Amar lei, so the Caesar said, Ihachi, if you're telling me that I can't even prepare enough for his attendants, if so, I admit defeat. I see that if, from the rain and the wind, that loy metzina, that I'm not able to prepare a suda for our Kaddish Baruch. And the fourth and final story is not with the Caesar, but it's the daughter of the Caesar. Amar lei bas kesel Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, the daughter of the Caesar, also got involved in a philosophical discussion. Elokechon, your God Nagrahu, he's a carpenter. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, Hamakara b'mayim al yosef, he makes a roof for the water in his attic. He builds a roof for the water in his attic. Emole, tell him, she said to Rabbi Yeshua, tell your God, denavidly he should do for me, chada misterisa. One reel, it's a bobbin, a spindle used in the weaving process. Now again, it's superficial, she's asking for a reel, but what does it mean? So the Ben Yoyada explains what she was saying. Okay, let's say I admit there's Hashem, but as the nature of the goyim is not to admit in Ashgacha Pratis that Hashem is the mesavev of all the sibos, that he's the cause of everything in the world. Hashem, not through a nes nigla, but through nes nister, in a hidden way, he, in a roundabout way, whatever Hashem wants to get done, he makes sure this happens, that happens, the other, until finally, whatever Hashem's will is, it happens. So, round and round, that's what she was asking. Show me an example where Hashem is in the earth. Not only in the heaven, there's a very beautiful pshat I heard from Rav Noach Isaac Olbam, Shlita B'Shem, Rav Mordecha Benet, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, why we call the Shabbos before Pesach Shabbos HaGadol. And the answer Rav Mordecha Benet said is from the Pasuk in Yisrael. Yisrael said, Ato yodati ki gadol Hashem mikol olaykim. I know now that Hashem's after Kriyas Yamsuv and Melchamas Amalek and Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim, I know now that Hashem is Godel. Why? Because by the Goyim, it's Rom al kol Goyim Hashem. Hashem is Rom. He's not a Godel. What's the difference between Rom and Godel? Rom means he's way up in the sky. Al Hashemayim Kvoidoy. His glory is in heaven. He made the world, but then he's not Mashgiach in the, Hashem does not get involved in the details of this world once he has created it. So, but mi kashem elekeinu, who is like our God, ha-mashpili l'rois ba-shamayim uva-aretz. Hashem lowers himself down from the heaven, and he comes down into the earth. So what's Hashem? Hashem is a gadol. That's what Yisrael said. Ata yadati ki gadol Hashem, yikol elekeinu. A gadol is, he's positioned here on earth, and he's still from the earth, he rises high above the world to the heaven. But there's a connection between heaven and earth. And that's why when the Klal Yisrael saw that we were able to take the God, the Avodah Zorah of the Mitzrim, and shecht them before the Shabbos before Pesach, prepare them to be shechted on Erev Pesach, so that showed that Hashem is not just a Rum, but he's a gadol. He's here in this world. He's mashgiach in the world, and he does his will on this earth. So that's what she was asking Rav Yeshua to prove, the hashgacha pratis of Hashem. Amar, so he said, l'chaye, okay, that's what you want, fine. Boy, rachmila, he davened, the inga, and she became a metzora. She got metzoras. Oisva b'shuka deroimi, they placed her in the marketplace of Rome. The Yavila Misteraisa, they gave her a bobbin, a spindle. They gave her this reel to, as we'll soon see, to work with the threads. The Havin Nehigi, there was a minig in Rome. The Chol Demenagu Beroimi, whoever had Saras in Rome, Yavile Misteraisa, they would give her this spindle. The Yosef Ishoka, the person would sit in the marketplace. The Saser Dolele, and he would wind coils of thread. Kehechi de lechazi inchi, that people should see what he's doing, or she, viliboi rachmi oleya, and they should feel bad for them and pray for their recovery. So that's what happened to her. And who caused this? Hashgacha pratis. This is what Hashem caused. You want to see the Hashgacha pratis? Here's the Hashgacha pratis. Yoim achad one day, have a kachol of hasam. Rabbi Yeshua was passing by. Havas Yasus, what was she doing? She was sitting in her place. Visas Raduli, and she was winding the coils of thread. Vishuk Edoroimoi, in the marketplace of Rome. Amar law, so he said to her, Shapirta Mr. Isa Diavel Elikai. Did my God give you a good reel? In other words, do you see the Ashgacha Pratis of Hashem? Amralei, she said to him, Eimalei Lelikecha, Lishko Madiavli, let him please take back. I don't want to be a mitzora anymore. Let him take it back. On my law, he said to her, Elokod didon, our God, me of Yav. He gives, but Mishka loy shakel. He's not an Indian giver. He doesn't take back. Once he gives, he gives. And that's where she remained. But she learned the lesson that Hashem is Mashgiach in this world. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda gets back to the inyanim of simonim of behemoth that we discussed in the Mishnah. And he says the following statement. Sure, when the definition of a ox, karsatan uparsatan, he has a wide, large belly and large hooves. Rav reshe, his head is big. Virav genufse, and his tail is also big. Vichilufa bechamra, and the opposite is by a donkey. Ask the Gemara L'mai Nafkemino. What's the difference? Why do we have to know this definition? Everybody knows what an ox is and what a donkey is. L'mekach memkar. There is a difference when it comes to business matters. So Rabbeinu Gershom says, Kloimer, Misha Meicher Shor L'chaver, Karsit and Parsit and Iboile L'meiv. When you have to give the person who's buying from you asked to buy a shore, you have to give him a wide-bodied shore with big hooves, a big stomach, big head. That's what you need to give him. The Maram Shif explains this in a little more detail. Don't say, as we're soon going to learn, that shore ben yoimrei ikra shore. You ask for a shore, I'll give you a baby shore. It was a calf that was just born. It's also called a shore. No. When it comes to Mekach HaMemkar, people have a certain idea in mind. They don't want a baby shore that's called a shore. They want a gesunte shore, a fat ox. That's what they want. So that's the definition. The other idea the Maram Shif says, just the opposite. Let's say the person didn't say to you, I want a shore. He just said, I want an animal that has a wide stomach and wide hooves and a wide face and a wide tail. So what animal is he referring to? He means to say that he wants to buy a shore. So that's why we have to know the definition of a shore. It's nageya to questions in Mekach HaMemkar. Continues the Gemara, another statement of Yehuda concerning a shore. The Amr of Yehuda, shore shehikr of Adam Arishin, Karen Achas Haislo B'metzchoy. The Gemara tells us in Avodah Zorah, Davches, that the first night after the chet of the Eitz Hadas, it got dark. So Adam Arishin thought that that's a result of his Aveira that he did, that Hashem is taking away the sun, and he's eventually going to destroy the whole world. In the morning, when the sun came up, Adam Arishin realized that this is all Minhagai Shalom. This is how Hashem has made the world. And he brought a korban as a hoidah, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for bringing the light in the morning back to the world. So now, what kind of korban did he bring at that time? So Rav Yehuda says that the shore that Adam Arishin brought as a korban, Karen Achas Hoysla B'mitzvah, it had only one horn on its forehead. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, When David HaMelech asked Hashem to accept his prayers, he said, V'sitavlo, what I'm giving thanks to you, Hashem, should be more pleasing in your eyes, mishor par, from that ox that Adam HaRishon brought, which was a shore par. What does it mean it was a shore par? So Rashi explains, as we said before, shore ben yoimoy ikra shore. One day old, it's already called a shore. But a par, it's not called until it's 3 years old. So as we're going to learn, all the animals that were created as mature, large animals. They weren't created as babies. They were created in the full dimension of a grown animal. Those that were created by Maaseh Bereishis. So that's why they're referred to as shor. On the one hand, it's a one-day-old shor. But on the other hand, it's already reached its maturity on the first day. It's a shor par. And this shor par is makrin mafris. It has horns already on the first day because it's fully mature. And mafris, it has hoofs. So from this pasuk, he's bringing a proof that it had one horn. So the Gemara immediately asks, makrin tarti mashma. The word makrin is plural. It's mashma had two horns. Amar Rav Nachman, makron ksiv. The ksiv is without a yud. It's from the ksiv that I'm learning that it only had one horn. In other words, it had mafris, plural. It had four hooves. But as far as the karen is concerned, it only had one karen. The Marsha says that the meaning of this is that the Gemara tells us that when Adam HaRishon sinned, he was called a min, an apikairis, because he by doing the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, he showed that there's like another, power in the world, shtei reshuyos, besides a Kaddish Baruch. A Kaddish Baruch told you not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. And yet you did. It's like shtei reshuyos. So he showed like apikursis. So therefore, when he did shuva, he had to bring a keren, an animal with one keren. Keren means the main thing. A keren kayemes l'olam haba. The keren is the main part of something. So in other words, I do shuva, and I'm not going to lead my life that there are two reshuyos, there are two powers. No, keren echas. And where am I going to have this main one Hashem Echad theology? I'm going to have it on my metzach, on the forehead. My forehead, where I had my power of reasoning, which made me go off the derech, that there are two reshuyos. I'm doing tshuva. There's one keren on my metzach which rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So learns the Marsha Pshat here in the Gemara. Continues the Gemara. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shor Shehikar V'Adam HaRishon, Karnav Koidmois L'Parsos Aisav. Its horns came out before its hoofs. Shenemar V'Sitav L'Hashem Mishor Par Makrin Mafris. Makrin Bereish V'Adam Mafris. First we had the keren, then the hoofs. Rashi explains that since we just learned that it came out fully mature, so it already had the horns. And what part of the... what part of it came out first? What came out first was the head before the hooves. So Memela, the head, had on it already the horns. So that's why the horns preceded the hooves. Usually in an animal, it's the opposite. It's born with the hooves, and then it develops horns later on, but here it was the reverse. Messiah lay Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This is all a proof to what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi held. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kol masa bereshis. Everything that was created by Hashem at the beginning of the 6 days of creation, b'kaymasan nivru, they were created fully mature, like we learned. They were like three-year-old par with horns already. B'daton nivru, they were created with their full das. So Rashi says, Rashi's gear says not b'daton, but lid'daton. So Rashi learned, shahidiyam sheyivram v'hem niyusu. Hashem told them, or the malachim that governed them, that I'm going to create you, and they agreed to be created. That's what lidato means. There's a pshat here that the Oruch says, and the Oruch's pshat, which Masoret Hashas brings down, in Ois Tess, and it would fit in better with our gears in the Gemara of bidato nivru. With their das means not as a baby's seichel, but they were not only physically mature, but mentally they had the full das of a grown-up. And then b'tzivyoinam nivru. What does b'tzivyoinam mean? So Rashi says, b'dmus shebacharu lahem. Their wish, how they wanted to look, in other words, the ox wanted to look a certain way and have certain characteristics, that's how Hashem made them. The Rabbeinu Gershom learns that l'tzivyoinam He, what Rashi said on Ladatum, that's how the Rabbeinu Gershon learns Litzivyoinam. Do you want to be created? How will Rabbeinu Gershon learn Ladatum? He'll have to learn like the Oros Pshat with the full Das, a mature Das. How do we know that they were created in this way? We learn it from a Pasuk, Shenamer, that the heaven and earth and were completed. And all their hosts, al tikrit tzvam, don't read the word tzvam, al tzivyoinam. Read it tzivyoinam. So Tosfos, Divrei HaMashal, al tikrit tzvam, al tzivyoinam, explains that the Orach tells us that the word tzivyoinam is lashon yoifi, beauty, as we have tzvi ulitziferes. And Tosfos says the beauty of something is not when a child is a baby, but when it's grown up to full maturity. An animal, the beauty of the animal, of any of Nivra, is when it develops into its full maturity. So that's why in the word Sivyainam, you have everything. You have Kaimasam, it was fully mature physically. You have Bedatan, it had a mature thinking capability. And it was beautiful, and it was done according to the wish of the animal. The Chasam Sofer and the Ben Yoyada says that the word Tzedek stands for tzadik tzivyoinam, dalid datam, and kuf kaimasan, to show that everything that Hashem created in the world is b'yoshura b'tzadik. Hashem created the world in the most perfect, beautiful way possible. Continues the Gemara. Dorish Rav Chanina bar Papa. The Pasuk says, Yechi'i chvoid Hashem la'olam, Hashem's honor should be forever. Yismach Hashem b'masav, Hashem should be happy with his creations. Pasuk says, Sarah Oilam Amrei. This pasuk was said by the, Rashi says, the Malach HaMemuna. There's a Malach who's a messenger of Hashem to help Hashem govern the world. He does the Shlichus. Hashem sends him as a Shlich. Tosfos says that there's a Malach called Matatron. And we have learned that Matatron was there at the time of Maisa Bereishis, and he is Chanoch. He came down in the Dor HaMabul as Chanoch, and later when he died, Tosfos says, Shenepach le'esh mibosser, that his flesh became back into fire, he became back into a Malach. He is the Sar HaOilam. So, Sar HaOilam Amra, he said this pasuk, B'shoa Shomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lemineyu, which Rashi says it's not really the word limineu, it's leminoi. By the trees, Hashem used the word eitz pri oise pri leminoi. Hashem wanted each tree to be separate. There should be no taruvus, no klayim grafting from one to the other. So when Hashem said the word leminehu, or really leminoi, be ilonis by trees, nasu deshoim, the grass, the vegetation, the vegetables, they made a kal v'chaimer ba'atzman. They were, Rashi points out that they were never told to be separate by when they were created. When they came out, the Pasuk says, Mazria Zera Liminehu. But when they were commanded to be created, it doesn't say Liminoi. So how did they get to the point where they're separated? They made a Kal V'chaimer. Nasu Disham Kal V'chaimer Batsum. They made a Kal V'chaimer. Im Ritzon Yishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vivuvia, Hashem would have wanted that this world should be all mixed up. Lama Amar Lemineu Bilonis. Why did he tell the trees Lemineu? We see that the will of God is to have separate. V'oid Kal V'chaimer. I have a Kal V'chaimer, the grasses and the vegetation said. Uma Ilonis She'ein Darkon Latzes Birvuvia. As Rashi explains, trees are large. They have branches. They, by nature, are separate one from the other. And yet, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mineyu, Hashem instructed them to eat, like you see trees, each tree is separate from the other. Anu, we by nature do grow together. So Allah is kama v'kama, that Hashem wants us to be separate. If he said it to the trees who by nature are not together, so certainly who are together, we should be careful on this. Miyad kol echad v'echad yotzel l'minoi. That's why the pasuk says, when they came out, mazriya zera l'mineyu, based on this kavachomer. Pasach sara olam. So this chanoich, the malach matatron, he opened up and he said, Yehi chvoid Hashem l'olam. God's covet should be forever. Yismach Hashem b'masav. He should be happy with his creations, as Rashi says, shekulon zehirim b'mitzvayisav. Look how careful the creation was in the mitzvah of Hashem, that the grasses and the vegetation made this kal v'chomer to themselves. The Chassam Sofer says a very nice pshat that it's very good that this was chanoch, matatron. Why? Because matatron at Maisa Bereishis was saying, I'm going to be living at the time of the Mabul. At the time of the Mabul, there was no separation. There was the Molei Aretz Chamos. The world was full of irvuvia, of taruvis, of immorality. So I, Yehi Chvoid Hashem Lo'olam, I'm giving a bracha that this should not be, that what we see, Yismach Hashem B'masav, what we see from the grasses, that they learned to Kal V'chaimer L'mineyu, I'm giving a bracha that that should continue. Unfortunately, the Dor HaMabul didn't live up to it, but that was the bracha of the Malach Matatran, who later became Chanoch, who lived at the time of the Mabul. Boy, Ravina had a question. Here, Kiv Shnei Dishom Zal Gavzeh, as we turn to Samach HaMabez, L'Rav Chanina Bar Papa Ma. What happens now, based on this member of Rav Chanina Bar Papa, that what? There was no commandment to the grasses not to make klayim. It was only they accepted upon themselves with a kal v'chomer. What happens if a person takes two vegetables, vegetation, and grafts them one to the other? Is he over on klayim or not? Here's the question. Mao, what's the din? Kivin, the like siv bu lemineyu lemechayiv. It doesn't say in the Torah lemineyu, so you're not chayiv. Oidilmar maybe. Kivin the hiskim. Ayodayu, since Hashem agreed to their kal v'chomer, kemandech siv bu lemineyu dami. It's as if it's said in the Torah. Answer is, teku. We don't know the answer. Tosis, on Amid Aleph, asks a very strong question. What do you mean we don't know the answer? It's an open Mishnah in Klayim, where the Mishnah says, Ein noitin ilim be'ilin v'lo yerek be'yerek, that you're not allowed to graft two yerukis together. So what's the Gemara's question over here? Tosis answers that the question over here is in Chutz Lartz. Because in Chutz Lartz we have a din that Klayez royim are mutter, but Harkava, grafting of a tree, is usser. Now the question is, what about grafting of vegetation? You'll notice, boy Ravina hirkiv shnei dishoyim. Not klayim of shnei dishoyim, because it's the chutz loritz, that's mutter. But hirkiv, grafting, does that have a din, as if it's written in the Torah lemineyu? Or no, since it came through a kavachomer, it's not like written in the Torah, and there is no isser b'chutz loritz. A vegetation will not have a din like a tree of an isser grafting in chutz loritz. That's how Tosfos understands the kasha. The Marsha and the Maram Shif give a different answer. They say our Gemara is discussing an oinish. Avada, the Gemara knew, Ravina knew the Mishnah and Klayim that there's an isser. Question is, do you get punished for it? Because I think what he's trying to say is, because we know there's a rule, ein oinshin min adin. You don't get a punishment from a kal v'chomer. So do I look at this as a kal v'chomer, then you don't get a punishment. Of course you're chayiv, it's usur, you're not allowed to put a yerek together with a yerek. But is there an oinish? Or do I say it's like it's written befeirish in the Torah, because Hashem agreed, and then there would be an oinish. That's how they answer the question. Continues the Gemara. Rav Shimon Pazi Rami, he asked the stira, Ksiv, Vayas Elokim Hashnei Amorsa Gedolim. It says that Hashem made the two great luminaries, the sun and the moon. Uksiv is Hamor HaGadol, is Hamor HaKatan. And then it says that they're not great anymore. One is big and one is small. What happened? Amra Yoreach, the Yoreach said, L'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbani Shalom, Efshu L'shnei Melochim Shishtam Shem Keser Echad. Is it possible for two kings to use one crown? We can't both be big and serve the world. On my law, so Hashem said, good idea. L'chi umati es atzma. Make yourself small. By the way, I think I once saw in the art scroll brought down from Yashu Ber Soloveitchik Zitzel that the difference between a gadol and a katan is like the shemesh and the yireach. The shemesh is a gadol because the shemesh is mashpia. It radiates light. Whereas the levana is a recipient of the light, but it doesn't radiate. That's a katan. Same thing, a person who's able to be mashpia on other people, he's an adam gadol. If he's only a recipient, then he's considered a katan. So the Yoreich is saying to Hashem, we can't both be together, and Hashem says, you make yourself small. Amra lefanav, so the Yoreich said back to Hashem, Rabbeinu Shalom, hoyel v'amarti lefanecha dover hagun, amat esatzmi. Is that my reward? Because I said some very good logical statement, that's why you're taking it out on me? So the Meforshim say, and what's the choice? To take it out on the son? What was the Yoreich's tain over here? So the Maram Shif gives two answers. Either the Yoreich was saying, leave me the way I am. If you're going to do anything, make the son bigger. Why do you make me smaller? Keep me the way I was. Make him bigger. Or he was saying, let's alternate. I'll serve 1 month and let the Shemesh serve the other month. Why do you make it that I am small and he is big? Amar lo, Hashem said to the Yoreich, l'chi u'mishol b'yom v'layla. Okay, I'm going to give you a consolation. I'm leaving you small, but you're going to be both ruling in the day and at night. Amar lo, so the Yoreich said to Hashem, my rebuse, what's great about that? Dishraga b'tiara mayahani, a candle in the daytime is meaningless. It doesn't give off any light. So I'm going to be a moon in the middle of the sun. On my law, he gave her a different consolation. Zilgo limnu bach Yisrael yom v'shanim. The days and the moons of the Klal Yisrael, the days and the years of Klal Yisrael are all 354 days based on the Yoreich. Amra Leia, she said back, yom anami, by the sun also, efshir d'loimana bay tekufta. The equinox is the sun. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, how are they ma'abar shana based on the equinox if it didn't come out at the right time in the year? So it came out in the winter, so that was all based on the sun. So the sun is needed for ibar hashana as well. So you're not consoling me by that. The sun is also getting part of the calendar of the Jewish people. Through the sun, we have yamim and shanim. The years are done with the sun also. So then he said a different consolation, Hashem. Zil likri tzaddikim b'shvech. You'll see that tzaddikim will be called with your name. What are you? You're a katan. So we find tzaddikim that are called katanim. Yaakov hakatan. Rashi says this is a pasuk in Amos. Miyakim Yaakov ki katan hu. And Shmuel hakatan. Rashi doesn't bring a pasuk. David hakatan. Rashi brings a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Zayin. That David is called Katan. Now, interesting, Shmuel HaKatan, he doesn't bring a pasuk. There's a whole discussion here, who's the Shmuel HaKatan? If it's Shmuel HaNavi, where there is no pasuk, we don't find it. So the Rishash wants to say, this is Shmuel HaKatan who lived in the time of Rabban Gamliel, not the Navi. He's the one who made the bracha v'la malshinim, and he was a Katan because he was very humble, and that's who we're referring to. We find, though, tzaddikim in the Navi, and some tzaddikim who lived after who were called a Katan. Chazya deloika misvedaita. Everything Hashem tried to do would not console the Yoreich. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, heviu kapor alai. Okay, I did something wrong. You have to bring a forgiveness for me. Unbelievable Gemara that Hashem says I did something wrong. I need forgiveness. Shemiatati es Yoreich. I lowered. I made small the Yoreich. V'hainu. The Amar of Shem ben Lakish. Man ishtan esor shoroish chaydish. Shenemer boi Hashem. As Rashi points out, all the other Yom Tovim, when you bring a Sor for a Chatas, it says Sor Chatas Echad. By Rosh Chodesh, it says V'Sor Seir Izim Echad L'Chatas L'Hashem. It uses the word L'Hashem, which you don't find by any other Yontav. Why by Rosh Chodesh do you put in the word L'Hashem? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sor Zeh Yeh Kapora, should be a forgiveness, Al Shemiyatati Es HaYoreich, because of what I did, that I made small the Yoreich. Rav Asi Rami, he asked the stira, Ksiv, Atoitzi Eretz Desha. On the third day, it says that the vegetation should come forth from the ground, Betlos B'Shabbat, on Tuesday, Uksiv, and then on Friday, it says, V'chol Siach Asada, all the plants of the field, Terem Yeborth, they were not yet in the out of the ground. When is that? B'Mali Shabbat, on Friday, Melamed Sheyatsu D'Shoem, V'omdu Al Peskarka. The vegetation came out, it was standing right by the opening of the ground to come out. But it wouldn't come out ad shebo Adam Rishon, ubikish aleim rachamim, until Adam Rishon came and asked for mercy that the plants should come out. The yarduk sham, the rain came down, but samku, and then they grew. L'lametcha, to teach you, Shakadosh Baruch Hu misave l'tfilas shel tzaddikim, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu has a tremendous desire for the tefillah of tzaddikim, and he waited till Adam Arishon daven, and then the plants came forth on the sixth day, on Erev Shabbos. Rav Nachman bar Papa Havyula Hahigin, so he had a garden. Shari Bei Bizrune, he put in seeds, like samach, it didn't grow. Boy Rachmi, he daven tashem, asamitra, rain came, but samach, and it grew. Omar, he said, Hainu de Rav Asi. Ah, now I see fulfillment of what Rav Asi said, that what? That the crops won't come until the tzaddikim are mispalel. So I'm a tzaddik, I daven, and then the crops came. The question is, how could he say on himself that he was a tzaddik? I think this is what the Mefarshim ask. I believe the answer might be like we find the famous question of the Marsha, Masechta Saita. The Mishnah says there that Mishameis Rebbe Butla Anova, and Rabbi Yosef said, Vo'ika Anova, what about me? So when Rebbe was Nifter, there's no more Anova, what about me? Marsha says, what about you? You sound like a Balgaiva, you're saying, what about me? So the Gros says that there's an Amoira in the Yerushalmi whose name is Anova. So Rabbi Yosef is saying, Vayik Anah, Anah is a big Anah. However, others give an answer that the question doesn't start, because I believe I heard this from Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg Zitzal, the Rashi of Neri Shrol in Baltimore. He said that if a person doesn't know what he is, he's a shaita. He's a fool. He's not an Anah. So Rabbi Yosef knew that he's an Anah. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he's an Anah also. He knew he's Moshe Rabbeinu. Because he was Moshe Rabbeinu, it didn't bring him to haughtiness. Somebody else, if Aaron would have had my capabilities, he would have become even greater than I would have. It didn't lead him to haughtiness. So a person can know what he is and yet be humble about it. Rabbi Yosef said, the Mishnah made a statement that when Rebbe died, there's no more anivus in the world. I know about myself that I am humble and I lived after Rebbe. So too here. Rav Asi said, I know I'm a tzaddik, and now I see a fulfillment of what Rav Asi said, that when tzaddikim are mispalel, the rain comes. Amar Rav, the plants grow. Amar Rav Chana bar Rabba, hashesua beri b'fnei atzmehi. The pasuk says, ach ezeh loy soichlu, mimali ager mefrisi aparsa, hashesua, es agomo, es arneves, es hashofen. Kimala Gerahemo Parsalay Frisu Tmeim Lahem, this is a Pasuk in Dvarim, Perik Yadalit Pasuk Zayin. So the Targum Inklus learns that the word Shesua here is a description, it's an adjective of Mafrise Parsa. Mafrise Parsa Hashesua, that the hoofs are cut all the way through into two separate hoofs, right? And how many animals is the Pasuk speaking about? Three. The Gomel and the Hyrex and the hare, the Arnevis and the Shofen, even though they have one simen of Malagera, but since they don't have split hooves all the way through, therefore you're not allowed to eat them. That's how the Targum Unklus learns the Pasuk. However, our Gemara right here is not learning like that. Our Gemara of Chanan bar Rava is learning Hashesua is not an adjective of Mafrisa Parsa, but Hashesua is an animal. And the Gemara is going to explain why is it called Shesua? Because it has two backs and two spinal columns. And Rashi says it's cut through and through into two, and therefore it's like twins. The word Hashesua, Rashi says, is like two umim. So the Maral says that this animal had all the simoni kashrus in the world. It is Maligera, Mafrise Parsa, Shashas Shesa, and yet a piece sold for some reason, we don't know why, Hashem said, I don't want you to eat the Shesua, which is an animal, according to this tradition, not like the Targum Unklus tells us. Amar Rav Chana bar Rava, Hashesua, bury you before they ask me. It's a special, unique type of animal. Sheyesh lo shnei gavin, has two backs, shnei shedroys, two spines, and it's called, because of this, Hashesua. And the Gemara asks, V'chi Moshe Rabbeinu, kenigi haya, was he a hunter? Oy balistri haya, was he an archer? How did he know? Did he go into the wilds of Africa to find this animal? How did he know? Mikan tshuva, this is an answer, la'aymer, to those who say, ain't Torah min Hashemayim, there's no Torah from Hashem. As Rabbeinu Gershom says, that Moshe had to know the existence of this unique animal and its name all through Ruach HaKodesh. Hashem told Moshe didn't go on a safari to find this out. Moshe knew it by Ruach HaKodesh. Amar le Rav Chisda l'Rav Tachlifa bar Avina. Rav Chisda said to Rav Tachlifa bar Avina, Zil go ksiv, write down, Kenigi ublistri bagadatech. In your agoda, apparently they wouldn't write down the agoda. Normally there's still Torah Shabbat Peh, they wouldn't put it down b'ksav. But I want you, write down this agadata with these names. As Rashi says, these are very special, interesting names. Where the sources of the word Kenigi, that it means a hunter, and blistri, that it means an archer. So write down this little piece of agadata. How? By writing about the names. In order to get to the correct definition of the names, like a dictionary, and memela, you'll also have a heter as you're doing it to write down this whole idea of Hashasua that we just learned, in order to have the definition of these words, you'll also be allowed to write down this piece of agadata concerning the Shasua.